the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy, Doomsday 519. This is episode 219. Yeah, 219. Okay. And of course, my tag team partner, my guy in this journey of ours, the man hailing from the West Side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay!
Oh yeah, what a beautiful day. You're lucky you're not on the East Coast, because it's just been rain for like 5 days straight. It's bullshit.
I don't know, there's a lot of people in California who would rather have rain than the heat weather we have right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's as bad as some places, but, you know, California's not used to this amount of heat normally.
Yeah, we have, record rain in Baltimore area. Like, they say this is the most rain we've had in any July ever. It's just been pouring, and it's not going to stop. Apparently, like, I checked the forecast for the next 10 days, and we're going to have rain for basically almost all of them. It's that bad. It's crazy. Like, things are flooded. And I think because of some issues in my household, I got some water leaking in the basement, which is not been a pleasant smell at all.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Now, basically, over here, if you just walk outside and hope you don't get hit by the sun. That's basically it. But we're not doing as bad as other places, obviously. Yeah, Japan has record highs.
Yeah, like Japan, there's people actually dying from the heat there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You don't want the sun to ever win.
Yeah.
Fuck the sun.
Yeah.
But, I guess we need to talk about...
Yeah, speaking of Japan, let's talk about some G1. Yeah.
Sure. All right, so, let's start with what happened the last few shows. When we recorded, the Thursday show hadn't been up yet, but we talked about what was previously on that one. But that kicked off... Oh, wait, hold on. Let me bring up the Dave Meltzer ratings for that up until Thursday, just so you can get your... Because someone put it made a website that was going to list all his star ratings. Look, I know it's just Meltzer's opinion, and, you know, a lot of times my reviews, my personal opinion, if I cared about stars, would be close to his. But, man, Dave, quit with the Kenny Omega love for a little while. Please, motherfucker. But, alright, so here we go. These are the first, I think, 4 days of Dave Meltzer ratings for the G1. Day one, he gave, the lowest reviews was for Bad Luck Fale versus Hangman Page at 3.25 stars, Toga Makabe, Yoshihashi 3.5, whatever. He rated Elgin, Evil, and Okada versus White both 4 stars and gave Tanahashi 4.5 versus Suzuki 4.5. So, okay. Alright, Dave, sure, right? Now, we get day two. We got 2.5 for Robinson Tama. All right, whatever, I guess. Ishii versus Toriano, 3.5. I wouldn't have won, so I would have just did an even 3. I thought it was fun. Nothing more. He gave Goto Sonata for 4.24, whatever. Kota Ibushi, Zack Sabre, 4.7. And then, of course, he gave Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito 5 stars. Because obviously, right? Don't get me wrong, I really like the match, but I watched it. I went, yeah, I bet you $5 fucking Dave Meltzer is going to give this 5 stars. Even though I kind of thought it was the weakest of the 3 matches they had, personally. Alright. Day 3, you know, gave a couple 4-star ratings to Tanahashi White, Elgin Page, whatever. He actually rated Makabe Minoru Suzuki the highest of that night. And then Okada Fale and Hashi Evil were just under 3.5. Then we hit fucking Day 4, which... And, you know, he got a couple just under 3-star rating matches, a 4.5 for Robinson Kota Ibushi. Ishii versus Naito, which was some people's favorite match of day 4, just under 5 stars, but fucking Hirooki Goto finally got on the 5-star scale because he wrestled Kenny Omega. And, of course, I mean, I liked the match, but a lot of what I liked about the match was less Kenny Omega and Goto, because it really, like, felt like Goto was trying to fucking kill Kenny Omega. The spot where he threw the chair in his face when he tried to do the springboard was beautiful. Now, I personally wouldn't have given the match 5 stars, just under, but, you know, whatever. But this is getting kind of bothersome to me, and also because Kenny Omega is now complaining about his ratings in the sense that it's part of his character. Have you seen this shit?
No, I have not.
Apparently, after his Tama Tonga match, which we'll talk about, he said that Tama Tonga ruined his average star ratings for the G1 climax.
Oh, God.
He's literally making this part of his gimmick, and I fucking hate it.
Oh my God, yeah, that's pretty annoying.
Yeah, it's pretty bullshit. Alright, but let's talk about what the matches since then was happening. Obviously, the show on the 19th, Sanada Tama Tonga had a pretty good match, with Sanada having to survive the Fire and Squad antics to pick up the win. Toriano and Zack Sabre Jr. had a fun match. Toriano starting the match serious and then going to Toriano tactics. Robinson and Bushi had a great match. We had I actually thought Ishii Naito was slightly better than Goto Omega, but I know some people like Goto Omega better. I like Goto a lot more. A lot, and this year I've really been into Hirooki Goto, but him and Omega main evented, and but after that, let's kick it off to what Meltzer hasn't fucking talked about. We got the July 20th show. Minoru Suzuki beat Yoshihashi, which wasn't a surprise. Jay White defeated Michael Elgin. I actually thought this was Jay White's best of his 3 matches so far. Then you had Tanahashi over Fale, thanks to shenanigans and the ref actually throwing the match out.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, the refs are being a little bit more on point, because most of the time I get the stuff with the refs. They want the match to actually have a legitimate ending, but the firing squad's been so blatantly criminal that they're like, you know what, fuck you. Evil beat Togi Makabe in a pretty good match, and then Okada finally got his first win since, I believe, June, by defeating Hangman Page. The next night, we had Yano over Kota Ibushi. Sonata and Zack Sabre Jr. had a fantastic grappling match, with Sonata pulling out a cradle victory. This is Sonata's second win, third match, and he hasn't yet won with either the Skull End or the Moonsault, so he's been picking up with the cradle pins. Apparently, after the match, he said that wrestling is not all about dropping a guy on his head. So he might have been putting shade on some wrestlers with that one. Naito beat Robinson in a good match. Then there's the Omega Tonga match I mentioned, which I thought was an interesting just Bullet Club versus Firing Squad thing. I didn't think of the match as good. I thought it was a good storyline thing. Since I'm here, let's briefly, well, we'll get to a news bit, but Tama Tonga was recently put in Twitter jail. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I saw that. That's funny.
So someone tried to talk trash about Tama Tonga, and he came at him. He called him a flame-ass Dorito. And the guy tried to pull the veteran card, and Tama Tonga was like, "Ah, bitch, I'm a veteran, too. Don't be jumping behind that shit." And they went on, and Tonga was roasting people, but apparently someone suspension, you know, Twitter suspension, but he came on. But then Roman Reigns, of all people, like, retweeted a video of Tama Tonga saying some stuff. One of the backstage bits said something about it being some sort of Drake lyric thing. Tama Tonga, and I have the Tama Tonga response. Let me pull it up on my Twitter, which I thought was a pretty good response to that. Oh, and a little note to some of the people online. Tama Tonga is not Samoan. He's Tongan.
Tongan, hence his last name.
Yeah. I mean, I know the woman was just saying that Samoan men were fine and threw his name in there, but let's come on. All right, so, because Tama Tonga had been talking about who was snitching on him, so he replied with this, to the Roman Reigns with a screenshot thing and said, "Got the snitch. Your bark can't seem to get over your yard for me to hear you. My yard has no fences. Come test your skills here anytime. Jealousy is a bitch trait." What album is that from? Roman, hashtag Roman the Rat. I just like that he compared their yards, personally. Because he's not technically wrong. The WWE is a yard that has a fence. And while New Japan itself probably has a fence, being that he is technically a foreigner, he could pretty much wrestle other places too, right? So, you know, I thought it was a pretty good response. But yeah, that's a little bit of Tamatanga news. But the Omega Tonga match was not actually the main event of July 21st. The New Japan knew what the crowd wanted and gave them Goto versus Ishii, who beat the shit out of each other. Just classic, never open weight style, lariats, forearms, chops, and big moves, and it was a great match, best match of that show. And then the 22nd hit, we had Yoshihashi picked up his first victory over Michael Elgin. Jay White picked up his first loss to Minoru Suzuki. Tanahashi and Page had a pretty decent match. Tanahashi won. The best part of the match to me, though, because you didn't see this, Tanahashi is actually a fan of Hangman Page, and he's been talking about how he wants to save Hangman Page from the Bullet Club because he's too good for the Bullet Club. So during the start of the match, there's a bit where Hiroshi Tanahashi does his air guitar pose, right? And then he threw the air guitar to Hangman Page. So Page catches the guitar, and he looks confused, but then he breaks the guitar.
Of course.
And then Tanahashi goes off on him, but it was a great moment, a great crowd reaction. Evil versus Fale was very good, because this time it was the Fireman Squad versus LIJ for real, because Fireman Squad jumped in, but then Bushi came in, and then Naito came in because he was getting ready to wrestle Tamatanga for the upcoming show. So that was... Evil did win. But it was nice to see a stable in one of these shenanigan-type matches. And then the main event, Okada beat Makabe in a pretty good match. Now, by the time this goes up, the show on the 26th, it will be happening, which is, of course, well, I've already talked about that, so we'll talk about next week. But let's talk about the shows starting on Friday. Ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's start from the bottom. We got Evil versus Hangman Page. I actually have Page winning this. Page has only got one victory in the four matches, and that victory was by DQ. I think it's about time for him to score an actual win. But that's me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go with Page.
All right. We got Jay White versus Bad Luck Fale. I don't know how many matches Bad Luck Fale technically won. It might only be one match so far because of the DQs.
Yeah,
but Jay White is 3-1. I'm going Fale this time to win.
Yeah, bad luck.
All right. Elgin versus Suzuki. They're both at two victories, two losses. This is a tough one. I think I have Suzuki winning myself.
Suzuki.
All right. Next up, we have Tanahashi versus Makabe. I have Tanahashi.
Yeah, Tanahashi.
And in what I'm assuming is the main event is Okada versus Yoshihashi. I think Okada's going to win this.
Okada, of course.
Yeah. All right. And then on Saturday, we got ourselves Tamatanga versus Zack Sabre Jr. I got Zach to win it.
Yeah, I got Zach too. All
right. Juice Robinson versus Toru Yano. I'm going to go with the Juice.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Juice.
Yep. All right. Goto versus Naito. I have money on Naito this time.
Yeah, Naito.
All right. Kenny Omega versus Sonata. I actually gave it to Sonata. I just assume Kenny Omega needs to lose a match somewhere down the line.
Oh, he hasn't won yet? I mean, he hasn't lost yet?
No, he hasn't lost yet. He's won. He's only technically had three matches up to this point. The today's show, when this goes up, he'll have wrestled. Who is he wrestling? Juice Robinson. So I mean, he could lose to Robinson, which wouldn't surprise me because Robinson hasn't won any match so far. But yeah, I don't know.
I say he wins against Juice, and then he'll lose against Sonata. So I got Sonata.
All right. Well, let me update your choice because originally you picked him versus Omega over Robinson. So
oh, really?
Yeah. But to be honest with you, with how Robinson's thing is going, I actually think the Juice has to win tonight's show, tomorrow's show, whatever. All right, but you think he's going to go over Sonata?
Yeah.
All right. Omega, let's do him. And this is probably not the main event, but Tomohiro Ishii versus Kota Ibushi. I have Ibushi to win it.
I'm going to go with Ishii.
Okay. Ishii. All right, and then we have, we jump to, I believe this is Monday, Makabe versus Fale. I have Fale.
Fale.
All right, Paige versus Jay White. I actually got Paige winning this because of their last match.
Paige.
All right, Tanahashi versus Yoshihashi.
Tanahashi.
All right, Evil versus Minoru Suzuki. I'm going Evil.
Yeah, I'll go with Evil too.
All right, and in the main event, Michael Elgin versus Okada. I think I'm going Elgin this time.
Yeah, I gotta go with Elgin.
All right. How many days are in July? I don't know what day technically August 1st is. Do I count that shit?
August 1st or are you counting? Is Wednesday, next Wednesday.
All right, so I guess we have to do the Wednesday and Thursday show. All right, and then it... So going into the part now where they're taking less breaks until about the end. All right, so two more shows. Let's get this. Ishii versus Tonga. I got Ishii.
I got Ishii.
Okay, we got Sonata versus Robinson. I'm going to go Robinson.
Yeah, let me go with Juice.
All right. Naito versus Toru Yano. You know what? I'm going to go Yano. Fuck that.
Oh, man. I'm still going to go with Naito.
All right. And then we have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Omega. I think originally I have Omega, but now I kind of want to go Zack Sabre Jr.
I think I got ZSJ.
All right. Next up, we got Goto versus Ibushi. Originally had Ibushi, but now I'm going to go Goto.
Let me go Ibushi.
All right. I'm no longer worried about what the hell my my pick'ems are now that I'm actually knee-deep in the fucking tournaments. All right. Jay White versus Yoshihashi. I have White.
Yeah, I got White.
Makabe versus Hangman Page. I got Makabe.
I got Hangman Page.
Ooh. All right. Give Page another victory. We got Fale versus Elgin. I have Fale.
Yeah, I got Fale.
Evil versus Tanahashi. I actually have Evil pulling out the win here.
Yeah, Evil too.
And then in the main event, I actually got Suzuki going over Okada.
Yeah, same.
Okay, that is the first and second, so bam, that's it for the our pick'ems for right now. So after that, we have, after the next session, okay, so there we go. Let me save that, and I guess we, let me just do real quick, the show is coming on Powerbomb TV, so we can get that over with, since I didn't feel like hunting down too many damn shows to talk about. Where are you? Alright, here we go. So, Friday, for freelance wrestling, we have Wet Hot American Super Show, live from the Logan Square Auditorium in Chicago. There's no details here, but it says it's feature wrestlers representing promotions from all over the world, including Fest Wrestling, Game Changer Wrestling, Hood Slam, Golly Lucha, and Freelance Underground. So, okay. Whatever that means. Now, here's the show you are looking forward to on Sunday, American Rana. Oh, we yeah. got our themselves. No rope barbed wire match between Joey Janela and David Starr. By the way, it was just announced Joey Janela and David Starr will meet in the first round of PWG Bola. The PCO versus Brian Cage, Brody King versus Josh Briggs, Matt Riddle and Tom Lawlor versus Nick Gage and Matt Tremont for the Powerbomb TV Independent Championship title. Tracy Williams defends against Wheeler Yuta, Jonathan Gresham versus the MJF, but I think they're going to have to replace the MJF because he's got a knee injury, so he's going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks. So I don't know who they'll replace him with. Team Pazuzu versus Team Women's Wrestling Revolution. Okay, I never heard of them. That's cool. Ooh, the Beaver Boys versus Gentlemen's Club versus Massage Force versus Team Tremendous. I like Beaver Boys and Gentlemen's Club. So that's the shows for the weekend that I know that are happening.
Hold up, so Beaver Boys?
That's what it says, the Beaver Boys. Oh, that's Alex Reynolds and Joe.
That's right, they did make a comeback like a few months ago. In Beyond, that's right. Because I think they faced Team Pog that one time. Yeah, good times.
Yep. Good times. All right, so that's shows I know about. So I guess we're going to talk. Well, you want to talk about Raw and SmackDown, I guess.
Yeah, I can go over that shit. All right. Yeah, so Raw happened. And shit. Of course, the big announcement on Raw was that the women will have a pay-per-view of their own, a league of their own. Great movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that was.
My understanding is they left out all the lesbianism in the real story, but sure.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. They do leave.
Yeah, it was a different time.
That's why you hate
the eventual remake to actually talk about that.
See, but
you know,
even the remake, like the remake, would probably gloss over it too. And here's why: because if you look at most of the modern biographies, biographical films, and whatnot, they always leave out some shit. Like that, especially straight out of Compton. They left out a ton of shit in that movie.
Yeah, Dre beating up women and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Well, let's hope that the Queen biopic remembers that our boy was actually bisexual.
Because I hope they acknowledge that he's bisexual, acknowledge that he's not a white guy. That's a big thing, too. Because a lot of people thought he was a white guy, but he's not.
Yeah, he was Parisian.
Yeah.
He got some color in him, so let's recognize him as a person of color and not, you know, the savior of gay white men, white want.
Yeah. See, I think Rami Malek is a good person to play him because he's Egyptian. He's an Egyptian guy who people don't recognize as Egyptian, as a person of color either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bothersome now. You got a lot of people who think person of color specifically has to be dark.
Dark, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you got South Americans who are light-skinned as fuck. You have people from that area who, you know, over... And it's always, to me, it's in weird locations, too. Because, like, I'm in Los Angeles. You can't... You know, you don't know who... Unless the person's pale and has fucking red hair... You don't know if that guy is white or woman's white, you know, because we got a lot of Latinos and Hispanics who are very light skinned.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm darker than some Latinos.
Yeah.
But that's here in LA. For the rest of the world, especially Middle America, they don't know shit about other people of color. You be a person of color, you got to be like dark skinned Muslim or black. It's fucking idiotic.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good, he was a good choice, especially seeing as Parisian is definitely that sort of upper part of Africa.
Yeah.
And Now I'm trying to figure out how we can move this back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Since we're talking about biographical shit, we could also swing it back to the Page biopic that The Rock produced and whatnot. And, of course, Paige is the GM for SmackDown, and she will have her representatives in the WWE Evolution pay-per-view. So, the WWE Evolution announcement was interesting. Triple H, I loved his speech on it. He gave props to everybody, and he especially gave props to the women, of course, and it felt like real when he was talking about it. You could see that he was kind of like starting to tear up a little bit when he was talking about all of this stuff, because that's like, even though like Stephanie, they've pushed Stephanie as the person who's been pushing for a lot of this stuff, it's really been Triple H who's been behind the scenes and making a lot of this stuff happen with a lot of the female talent.
Yeah, developing the women. I mean, Stephanie seems to be the face of the women's revolution, but Triple H has definitely been the real heart of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I say this as someone who absolutely hates watching Triple H wrestle and never liked him as a personality. Very much appreciate what he tries to do for WWE.
I hate him as like a wrestler, like in ring wise, I hate him, but as a personality, I always loved him because he always put the like his roles, you actually always believed it, you know? Everything after he came back from surgery or whatever, when he became like the real cerebral assassin and really like was a real asshole about shit, you really felt it. And when he turned into this corporate role, you felt that shit too. Just look at his promos and his segments with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. You felt that passion every time. So, like, I always appreciated that with him.
I guess as the corporate personality, I have less problems with him. But I never liked him before the corporate personality stuff. And a lot of that had to do with how long it took Jericho to win the title and other things. He's also in one of my least favorite matches of all
time. Yeah, we all know that. I swear, I think every other month we bring that shit up at WrestleMania 19. Jesus. Booker T should have won.
I was actually, but I was actually talking about the ladder match he had with The Rock.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about Booker T.
That match. I think the Booker T Triple H match has the most disappointing ending of a wrestling match.
Yes.
Like, I don't remember it much outside of being very angry at the ending, whereas The Rock Triple H ladder match I just thought was one of the most boring ladder matches I've ever seen in my life. So, I'll just say, okay, maybe he just shouldn't wrestle people who are black.
Yeah.
But, no, as a corporate heel, I think he's fine, even if those matches with Roman Reigns were not good. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is wrong with WWE and just not letting their wrestlers just go out and be fucking angry and throw, you know, bombs at each other at the start of a match?
Right.
I mean, I hate to compare WWE booking and New Japan booking in this case, but you know, if New Japan was booking Triple H versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for that title, they would have asked them to open up just by trying to kill each other. I'd had a G1 climax opening. That'd have been the Ishii Goto, Ishii Shibata, just hit the motherfucker. But, you know. But let's be honest, there hasn't really been a great WrestleMania in years.
Yeah. I think somebody mentioned the main event of 34 and how they never, ever want to watch that shit ever again. And
Which one was 34?
It was Reigns versus Lesnar at the main event.
Which, the last one or the one before that?
The last one.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, at this point, the only good Reigns-Lesnar match was the first one where he busted Lesnar up where Lesnar busted Reigns up, but Reigns had a very funny reaction to just being tossed around the whole match. Mm-hmm. And then Seth Rollins went, to my surprise. As bad a pay-per-view as that was, that main event was actually entertaining.
Yeah.
Before Lesnar leaned into the 15 German suplexes a match thing.
Yes.
And it seemed like Reigns was emoting more when he was getting his ass kicked. It was the first time I really... Well, not the first time at that point, but now I look back at that match and it's like, that's the last time I really think of Reigns is having to wrestle from underneath. he's not really ever been an underdog since then.
Yeah, because, like...
And I hate to bury Roman Reigns, because I actually am a Roman Reigns apologist.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Because I saw the few matches with him and, the two matches with him and Bobby Lashley, and you'd think with Bobby Lashley's background, he'd be working under a little bit. And he did at some point, but then, of course, it's a Roman Reigns match. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Roman is... I just don't like the narrative of Roman Reigns being an underdog when he clearly is not.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have the guy be the golden boy. You have it with Okada. You never think of Okada really as working from underneath because he's fucking Okada. There's nothing wrong with being the golden boy and still being a top guy where you don't have to work from underneath. Just acknowledge it. Don't keep trying to sell some fake bullshit about how he's the underdog going into the match. He's not. No one believes he is except kids. But I guess if you're selling it to kids, it's like, well, okay, fine. All right, I'm done. Was there anything else about Raw worth talking about?
No.
Okay.
Like, I guess Bo Dallas and what's his name? Retained the B team. Oh, shit, why am I drawing a blank on his fucking name?
Curtis Axel, right?
Curtis Axel, shit, god damn it. But yeah, they retained surprisingly, but they got attacked by Matt and Bray after the match, though.
Apparently, someone came up with a very surprising statistic about this. Bo Dallas being one half of the tag team champions and beating Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy is the first time a brother ever took a title off a brother in WWE history.
Yeah, I heard of that, yeah. And it's the first time that every member of a family that actually has one tag gold, like, in the WWE, like, generational. Huh. Like, every generation of their family has had tag gold.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
These are very weird statistics.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't even remember seeing too many gifts from Raw, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they're doing the whole Sasha Banks and Bayley thing, where they're, like, buddy-buddy again. I don't know if it's going to lead to one of them betraying the other, most likely. I wouldn't be surprised. But I wouldn't also be surprised that down the line they introduce a tag title and they form a legitimate tag team.
I heard that someone said that WWE is not really ready to introduce a women's tag belt, and I'm like, shut the fuck up, you're about to do the women's pay-per-view.
That's what Stephanie said. That's what Stephanie said. She said that's something that she's thought about, but she's not quite sure it's time yet or some shit like that, or she doesn't know when or whatever.
The only reason I could see why they're hesitant is because of the stupid fucking switch from the switch to joint pay-per-views kind of fucked them up. They're putting too much on these shows. If they had stuck to just Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views, they could have definitely easily done a women's tag team.
Yeah.
But now you have this and you're like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes. No, sorry.
And what else happened? Freaking Authors of Pain and like Titus Worldwide are in a feud now. I guess the angle now with it is that they're basically going to try to beat some respect into AOP, specifically because Titus is a veteran and shit like that. I guess that's the way they're playing it now. I guess it kind of works.
You know what would work?
What?
Apollo Crews leaving and going to a different wrestling company.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping...
That guy should have been a fucking star.
Yes, he should have.
He's got the look, he's got the build, he's got the athleticism.
See, and the thing is that he's articulate, but I just want to see more passion in, like, the way he talks.
Yeah, I can see that.
He can talk, but he needs to, like, really put some emotion into it.
That's what I feel. Because, like, especially with what he was saying on Monday involving him sticking up for Titus. But, yeah, I just felt like, yeah, he just needs more emotion in all of this shit. Speaking of more emotion, Mojo Rawley defeated Tyler Breeze. And
he beat him last week, too?
Yeah, that's right. He faced him twice.
I think gotta love that WWE booking.
Yeah, and he's been... I think he made a comment about, like, him finishing off opponents because he's used, like, how many different types of finishers already, and he said something like that along the lines that, see, that's why he's different than everybody else because I could finish everybody with anything and not just one move. See, which is a fair point. I see that.
I don't see them going anywhere with Mojo Rawley in the future. But you know, at least they're trying. I'm just a little annoyed by the idea of having a rematch a week after. It's, I mean, WWE is always strange to me that, you know, they like to take a match and do it multiple times.
Yes.
I mean, I get that New Japan does that too, and other wrestling companies do that too, but a lot of times they do that as tag matches.
Yeah.
So when they actually do the singles match, because I just found out, I think Ishii and Yano, that was their first match against each other ever. And I swear to God, they've been in the same company for 5 or 6 years.
I could have sworn they had a G1 match a year, like a couple years ago.
Maybe, but even if it was a couple years ago, that would still mean that maybe this is like the second time they've wrestled one another in the 5 or 6 years they've been in the same damn company.
Yeah, that's right.
Years apart.
That's still years apart.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, WWE. You have 100,000 people on your roster. You couldn't just... I mean, even if you would have just taken some guy from NXT and put him on the Raw just for that one night to go up against Mojo Rawley. Hell, let's be honest, you probably have like 50 guys on the Raw roster that still haven't shown up on Raw yet. You could have just put someone else there. It makes no sense to bury fucking Tyler Breeze. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't understand WWE booking. I never will. Yeah. As long as the pay-per-views start getting better, I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's whatever. There was a match between McIntyre and Finn Balor that eventually morphed into a Finn Balor and Seth Rollins versus McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler match, which had Seth Rollins and Finn Balor win. And I don't see the point in that one.
Because they're going to do Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler at the next pay-per-view again.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't see the last match, I heard it wasn't that good.
Yeah. And then Ember Moon faced another Riot Squad member, this time Liv Morgan, and she won this one, so I think she's like 3-1 against the Riot Squad right now, duo, as Ruby Riott's missing. Because I think she faced Liv Morgan once, no, twice, and I think... Yeah, I think she's 2-1, actually, because I think she beat Liv Morgan twice and, like, lost to Sarah Logan on some interference shit, but it's whatever, I don't know.
I want to say, I don't know if I follow her, but whenever I do see Liv Morgan's tweets, I like them. She seems fun.
Yeah, she does seem fun. Yeah, because I don't follow her, but I always run into some tweets because either somebody else I follow liked her stuff, or I see it in like the moments thing when you scroll all the way to the bottom or whatever, and then see all the wrestling related tweets and shit.
Yeah, I just saw one about her watching Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and suddenly I want to watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but yeah, I don't have it.
No, you know what? Every time I see Forgetting Sarah Marshall on like whatever. Streaming service I'm using, I'm like, damn, that movie was good, but I'm not in the mindset to watch it right now. And that's for a lot of movies. But the thing is that back then when Forgetting Sarah Marshall came out, I watched this shit all the time.
Yeah, I did too.
Like, a lot of these, like, comedies that came out between, I want to say, 2007 and 2009 or 10 or something like that. I watched a shit ton of those, and I watched them a lot. That was a pretty good. People don't talk about that era of like comedy of comedy.
Kind of started with 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah,
kind of ran through stuff because I mean I don't remember that one, but you had Knocked Up, you had Super Bad, you had Forgive So Much, you had Role Models. What was that other one? I Love You Man, which I liked.
Yes, I Loved You Man. Drew Bit Taylor was okay. We also had Tropic Thunder too.
Oh yeah, there's some really interesting, because there's a podcast called Unspooled where they're going through the AFI time, and they did Platoon, and they talked that Ben Stiller tried to get into that movie, and Oliver Stone saw him and said, "You're cute," and he never got a call back after that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So Ben Stiller's been harboring basically a grudge against Oliver Stone so much that he hired the military advisor from Platoon to be the advisor on Tropic Thunder. And he would ask him a lot about the making of Platoon. Like, he never let that shit go.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, Tropic Thunder was awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of military guys, Bobby Lashley, a former military guy, took the L against Roman Reigns, too. So it will be Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
I swear to God, no one fucking cares.
Oh my god. Like, I don't get it. Like, people have gone through different scenarios of, like, what could happen during the match or after the match and shit, but either way, it's still another Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns match. Like, come on. But yeah. Raw was okay, besides the nice Evolution announcement and shit.
Here's a little something interesting I'm reading. Apparently, Naito has an autobiography out in Japan.
Huh.
Some interesting details. But apparently, he had a brush with intergender wrestling once at a Suzuki 20th anniversary show. And he mentions how it wasn't a battle royal. I just thought this comment apparently is really good. He said, "She charged at me. I didn't really know what to do. I was really hesitant. It was the only time I wrestled a girl. Now I realize I should have treated her the same as a guy." And I think that is important advice to all male wrestlers out there. Just do your shit, man. She want to wrestle, then wrestle her straight, right?
Yeah, you're fucking, like, it's not like you're trying to kill each other, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and apparently DDT is now working with Sendai Girls, so... if you're into intergender wrestling, the former Queens of Trios took on the DDT six-man champions in a match. Apparently it was really good. They claim that Cassandra Miyagi's 1,001 years old. I don't know where they got that, but I think that's... So, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I guess did Bandito just get added to All In? What?
Yeah, Bandito.
I'm not seeing that motherfucker wrestle.
Yeah, Bandito, man. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. Anything else from Raw, or should we talk about SmackDown?
Yeah, that was it for Raw that I had. SmackDown happened. And yeah, Randy Orton came out and talked his spiel. Like, it was a good promo, but
Roman Reigns just responded to Tama Tonga.
Oh, what'd he say?
He said, "I actually doubled your little video's view for you in like 4 hours. You should be thankful." Jesus. Thanks for the laughs, though.
Oh my god. I want to see the Samoans versus the Tongans.
I want to see King Haku show up and scare the shit out of the Samoans.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I seriously want Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah, this is tough because wrestling-wise, I do think the Samoans would actually win, but the Tongans are fucking bloodthirsty. They ain't playing that shit fair. You basically have better wrestlers versus more dangerous wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be an all-out brawl. Can we get that in the Hell in the Cell? That should be wild.
Oh, man.
Alright, sorry for interrupting you.
No, it's all good. Because Randy Orton is very interruptible. But
yeah. Oh, we were talking about Randy Orton? Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he had a really good promo, but the fact that, like, it's stuff that people have said already in promos in the past, like, few years, it's like, yeah. Cool. Because he talked about the same stuff, how I've been here this long, and you guys don't give a shit about me, and you guys give a shit about all these flippy doo-dah people, and indie folks, and all yada yada yada. That's literally the same shit Dolph Ziggler said last year.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not really all that different from, oh, I'm a bigger, taller wrestler than these short guys. Like, come on. What? It's like these, I don't know if it's because they keep going through writers. I don't know if it's like WWE fires the last batch writers, and then the new batch writers just comes in and just sells Vince on what the last set of writers did as their own thing.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
And Vince, yeah, because Vince doesn't care about continuity or repeating himself.
Fuck no.
This is why, and I mean, I remember when Triple H got married into the company, and I was like, I don't want Triple H anywhere near the product. And now I'm like, please, God, give Triple H all of the fucking product.
Yeah.
I cannot deal with this shit anymore.
And you know what's funny? And we talk about continuity, and he tried to bring up, he actually mentioned continuity in a way, because he was like, oh, you think that I attacked Jeff Hardy because of a 10-year, because of a grudge from like a decade ago or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that would make some pretty good sense. Shit. Bring up something.
Yeah, continuity would be important, and just attacking him now. I mean, it's fucking Jeff Hardy. He doesn't even do that many flips compared to most wrestlers nowadays.
Yeah.
Has Randy Orton seen fucking Ricochet?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Jeff Hardy
has, like, maybe
iconic high flyers, but yeah. He's tame in comparison.
Yeah, he has a handful of, like high-flying moves these days, and, like, he barely does those anymore. Because he wants to not kill himself.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff has been, I don't want to say more ground-based, but he's simplified his offense. Come on, Randy. You fucking wrestled Rey Mysterio. He does, like, twice as much high-flying shit as Jeff. Just calm the fuck down. Randy, go home. You're a millionaire.
Yeah, just go home.
We're done
Eat that MAGA pie and have, like, 5 more kids.
Yeah. Fuck off, dude.
Because that dude has a lot of kids.
Shit.
He's got a lot of kids.
Guys like Randy Orton are holding WWE back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. See,
and the sad thing is, I know Randy Orton deep down can probably go, because every once in a while, like twice a year, he'll have a great match, but it's not worth waiting for those great matches anymore.
Right.
And your one big RKO of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, besides that, Rusev and Andrade Cien Almas had a match. It was pretty good. But then Selena Vega and Lana got into it. And as they were fighting, Aiden English came and tried to intervene. And accidentally knocked into Lana, causing a distraction for Andrade Cien Almas to pick up the most important victory of his SmackDown career. And,
It looked like a good match. My favorite thing now is when they whip Andrade the ropes, and then, you know, he does that catch thing and does the tranquilo bit, but then Zelina gets up on the apron and does it at the same time.
Yeah.
Fucking love that. That's Andrade should be the fucking champion. Fuck this.
Yeah. And that's the thing that they were fighting. The reason that they were going against each other was because there was a video of them backstage getting into it, saying that they deserved to become number one contender to face AJ Styles at SummerSlam. So he isn't. He's on the cusp of it. He'll get there eventually. We'll see.
Maybe that's why they pulled him back, because they looked at him and said, why do we have this guy wrestling jobbers? This guy looks and sounds like $1 million.
Yeah.
right? Because I thought it was weird he was fighting jobbers. I'm like, come on, it's Andrade. This motherfucker can do anything. Yeah. Look at him. This is the Hispanic wrestler you've been complaining that you need. Yeah. He's right here. So I'm glad he's doing it. I'm glad Rusev's, they're actually treating Rusev Day better, too.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Rusev Day, it looks like it's falling apart between him, Aiden, and even Lana. So, like, as Lana and Aiden were arguing, Rusev was like, yeah, I'm starting to think I need to get away from both of you. So, I would have thought that he would dump Aiden, like, straight up. But it seems like he's just annoyed with both of them at the same time.
So. It'll be interesting to see where that goes, because Rusev Day is the best day of the year.
Yeah, it definitely is. After that, R-Truth had his first match in, like, forever against...
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, R-Truth?
Yeah. Yeah, because his
back too?
Yeah, because I think what happened was he had some shoulder thing where, like, he had mad, like, fragments in his shoulder, like, bone fragments and shit. It was really fucked up. Like, I just saw pictures of it earlier, and it just didn't look good. I guess he had a whole bunch of, like, surgery to get rid of a whole bunch of the bones sticking close to the skin and shit. It looked gnarly. But, yeah, he put on some dope offense. But that's the thing. I've always liked R-Truth. Like, as an in-ring competitor, his moves were always cool to me. And I liked
it. I always thought he was a very smooth in-ring, not necessarily his moves, but just the way he, his mannerisms, and he worked around the ring. He always looked smooth and clean.
Yeah.
And it's still surprising me he's the first African-American to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that's right.
How fucking racist are you, NWA?
Wow, yeah, even WCW had an African-American champion before they did.
And he beat fucking Vader with a power slam. That was awesome.
In Baltimore.
And those, both of them are named Ron, so I think all black wrestlers should be named Ron so that they can win the title. That's why there hasn't been a black WWE champion in years. We haven't had another one named Ron. Yes.
Oh, man. But, yeah, he put on some decent offense. He also hit a stinger splash that was, like, way too high. Like, he leapt, like, way too high and, like, looked like he almost broke freaking Samoa Joe's neck doing that shit. Not only that, but looked like he was about to fly out of the ring doing that shit. It was ridiculous. But eventually Samoa Joe would catch him slipping and ended up choking him out. Yada, yada, yada. After that, what did they have? They had Asuka versus Billie Kay, because that's just a random match now. And, of course, Asuka beat her. After that, they had the announcement for who AJ Styles' opponent was. They were supposed to have some big in-ring contract signing thing, and then James Ellsworth came out, talked his bullshit, kept insulting Paige over and over, and then Paige wasn't having it and fired him. So James Ellsworth
has just become the best fucking GM they've had in decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they looked at her like, well, we can't treat Paige like shit, so let's make her a boss bitch.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. So yeah, they fired, so she got him fired, escorted out of the building. And as all of that was going on, AJ Styles ends up getting attacked from behind, and lo and behold, it is Samoa Joe, who just had a match earlier. So, yeah, and after he attacked him, he signed the contract, and it looks like he is he's supposed to face him at SummerSlam. After that, Paige was backstage and confronted Samoa Joe, saying that, yeah, I wanted you because you're unpredictable and you're aggressive, yada, yada, yada. And he was like, that's exactly what I gave you. And to top it all off, it was phenomenal. And then walked away. So, should be really interesting leading up to SummerSlam. After that, Becky Lynch faced Carmella, and if she won, then she'd become number one contender and have the match with Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship at SummerSlam, and Becky Lynch ended up winning that one. I guess it was definitely good that Ellsworth had been fired not too long before that to give her the edge on that one. And after that,
I'm hoping this experiment with Carmella is done.
Hopefully.
Her Alexa Bliss have great characters, but their in-ring work really brings down the whole women's revolution thing. Yeah. Alexa Bliss and Carmella, they don't take bumps. And while I think Alexa Bliss is a better wrestler than Carmella, it doesn't help at all.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Your women's revolution should be led by women who are among your best.
I think
I can see Alexa Bliss selling more merchandise, but still not good enough.
Yeah, like, if it was up for Carmella or Becky Lynch, I'd rather have Becky Lynch win the title of SummerSlam and have the title leading into Evolution. That's a better representative for that.
Yeah.
Like, Alexa, maybe.
And that could lead to Becky versus Asuka, which would be a great match, theoretically.
Yeah. And Alexa, maybe she retains at SummerSlam. I don't know, but...
Oh, I hope not. I hope that Ronda Rousey kills her.
You know what? I feel like they may screw Ronda Rousey and have... Okay, here's my theory. SmackDown, definitely, there's going to be a title change on come SummerSlam. But when it comes to Raw, I feel like Alexa is going to win by some shenanigans. This is going to drag on. This may end up dragging on it, until October. All the way to fucking October.
Well, if they do that, it should definitely be Nia Jax, and it should just be a three-way for Evolution, then.
Yeah. But
Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey, to me, is much more money. Because I really liked what they did when they were in the ring with each other.
Yes. But I definitely feel like at Evolution, Ronda Rousey should win the title. That's my thing. Like, I don't think they could
have a one-on-one match with Nia Jax where there's no shenanigans.
Yeah,
because I want that one-on-one match between those two.
Yeah,
that's actually one of my most disappointing things this year was what happened in that Nia Jax Ronda Rousey match at the end, because I was on my way to saying that was the best main roster women's match for WWE that year.
Yeah. Okay. And besides that, the tag team tournament match, New Day faces Sanity, the Sanity team of Alexander Wolf and a shirted Killian Dane. Because Killian Dane, they forced him to wear. Actually, no. I think he claims that he chose to put on a shirt, but I don't know. We'll see. But New Day,
yeah, too much of a bare chest wrestling.
Yeah. But New Day ended up winning with the up up down down finisher and shit, aka the Midnight Hour, aka whatever they want to call it. And so they advance. Who else is still part of the tournament? Because next week it's supposed to be the Usos facing the returning Bar, who ended up showing up at the end of the match to proclaim that they're back and ready to go.
Is Sheamus in good enough condition for this?
I don't know. We'll see.
Because if Sheamus is in good condition, that could be a good match, because I don't think they've wrestled each other.
Yeah.
And the Bar was putting on some of the better Raw matches, like, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. It's a damn shame. And then after that, The Miz and Maryse, they were in the ring doing some celebratory shit for their new show, which debuted after SmackDown. They talked a whole bunch of bullshit, and they ended up rolling a video package that ended up being basically The Miz's Greatest Misses. Because Daniel Bryan had hijacked the video, I guess. And Daniel Bryan made his way to the ring. Ended up fighting some dudes off. When he got to the ring, Miz was holding his baby, which was clearly fake from the very beginning of the fucking segment. I knew that baby was fucking fake.
So he takes the baby and tosses it to Daniel Bryan, of course, who thinks it's real, and he ends up taking him out and hitting him with the skull crushing finale. So it's very interesting. It seems like Daniel Bryan is being bested time and time again by The Miz. Even though he did attack him sort of successfully before, Miz was able to escape fairly quickly. So it just seems like Daniel Bryan's just chasing him right now, and it's not doing him that much good. But
I'm looking forward to Miz versus Daniel Bryan. Yeah. This is the match we've been wanting. Yeah, I'm just worried that it's not going to end up.
Good. Yeah, that's because the only thing I'm worried about. It's not like the match itself isn't going to be as good as I thought it would be, you know?
Yeah, and who knows with the rumor that Daniel Bryan hasn't re-signed with the company, so who knows if they're going to use this to bury him or something.
Yeah, if this is going to be it for him, I feel like he's going to go all out anyway.
That would be great. I would love straight up this Miz versus a hungry Daniel Bryan who just wants to get every fucking thing in before he leaves. That would be that would be great. It's just sometimes, you know, WWE and their weird overbooking and shit.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to finding out what's going to happen. Yeah. I very much look forward to this.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was SmackDown. And after that, Miz and Mrs. was on USA. I saw, like, the first like few minutes before I changed to watch 205 Live. Saw a little bit of 205 Live, but I ended up actually falling asleep. But I ended up finding out later.
Well, I know that Drew Gulak won the Four Corners match.
Yes. So he will be he's the number one contender for the Cruiserweight title, which is well deserved on his part.
Yeah. He's one of the best talkers right now. So. And a clear heel going into this match. So that's a positive.
Yeah.
Alright, so I guess we should just talk about news. I already mentioned the Tom Tonga thing, so quick note, it's looking like Matt Riddle may be signing with WWE soon. He's pulled off of Battle of Los Angeles. He's going to be replaced by Trevor Lee. However, there is a word that New Japan may have also offered him a contract.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe I can see that they may have not been sure because of his love of weed and Japan's horrible, and I should probably talk about that, horrible feelings towards drug use. But they could also be, you know, they recognize his talent clearly, but they could also be thinking that, well, Matt Riddle probably worked better for us than he would in WWE anyway. Because if he goes to WWE, he's going to start with fucking NXT anyway. But, but more than likely he will end up in WWE. Speaking of drugs, Ayaka Hamada got probation for her drug sting thing. Apparently she had less, like, point something 1 grams of whatever.
Yeah, she had a little bit, apparently. That was it. It was a tiny bit.
Yeah, it was so fucking
That's some
little.
Bullshit. It was like a speck of dust.
Yeah, it is some serious bullshit. So she got probation. She announced her retirement. She said she's going to be probably looking into working as a translator between Japanese and Spanish because she's, you know, half Spanish, half Japanese. Or I should say half Mexican, half Japanese. So, But I'm hoping that this is just going to be temporary because she's been wrestling since she's been like 18 years old. She still has it in her. The matches she had this year, like if I'm going to do a top 10 women's match women's wrestlers this year, I'm putting her on that list because the few matches I've seen with her were among the best women's matches I've seen this year. She was on fucking point. Yeah. So hopefully she'll eventually return. Hopefully Japan will get their shit together, but that probably won't happen. But, you know, Ayaka Hamada deserved better. Love you, Hamada. You the best. Apparently some of the wrestlers and her friends in the wrestling community have said that they're going to try to look at, they're going to be looking out for her over the next several months, helping her out. So that's good. But yeah, there was a good tidbit about it on the podcast Eastern Lariat with that guy Striga and Dylan, and the guy, I think they run cagematch.com, the German wrestling site. Well, not the German wrestling site, but one of the various wrestling sites. They had a good discussion about Hamada. So yeah, if you're into pure Japanese wrestling, their podcasts are pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all I have for news.
All right, let me hit my shit. One thing of note when it comes to the WWE Evolution is that Kelly Kelly could maybe pop up, because apparently she's expressed interest in returning to the ring, so you never know with her. Also, another one who may end up popping up again could be a freaking... who else could probably pop up? Melina, maybe? Did she leave in good terms?
I don't know. I know her in a... It seems like her and Morrison are in good terms.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't remember Kelly Kelly being that good.
No, she wasn't. Like, she got, like, kind of better after a while, but, like, no, she wasn't good. She wasn't really that good. Because, like, there were definitely other girls that were better than her. Way better than her during her time. Like, Eva Marie. Who else was better than her? Michelle McCool. Layla was better. Yeah, there was some girls there. Beth Phoenix, at some point, I think she was there for the latter part of Kelly Kelly's career in the early part.
Oh, yeah, when Beth Phoenix came in, she was the better than pretty much the last 3-4 years of women.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because then at some point it was her and Natalya who were better than most of the other girls.
Yeah, they should have started the women's tag division then. They would have ran a rough show.
Yeah,
they
I remember that goofy-ass tables match, though, with the pink tables. That was ridiculous.
Because they have to make it sure that you understand these are women wrestling.
These are women, so they gotta have pink everything. Yeah.
That's so fucking bullshit.
Yeah. That shit was dumb as hell.
They should have fucked it up and gave those to like some men in a table match just to confuse them.
Yeah. Yeah. And then who else? What was that one? Rosa Mendez. She could pop up maybe. She's been wrestling in the indie circuit again. Now. She's been up and down the East Coast, making some appearances. So you never know.
I don't remember her being that good either, but I don't remember her being...
See, that's the thing. Apparently she's trained in combat sports, but she basically never got any type of real shot in the WWE. Like, I don't remember. I think she only had like a match or two that I remember her. And like I think she was probably in there for like a few minutes and that was it. But, like, she's actually trained in shit, so, like, she could be good, but they never, like, gave her a fair shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how WWE is. I remember how they had Serena Deeb on a contract, but she had one match on the main roster her entire time there.
Yeah.
Made no fucking sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, speaking of the WWE Evolution... I did mention there's going to be past, future past, present, yada, yada, yada there. But also NXT. So NXT women are going to be part of the pay-per-view, as well as the WWE UK girls as well. Some of those. I believe the matches that were announced, actually, that was one rumor. See, I wish that the titles would actually be defended, like, in, like, straight-up, like, Raw, SmackDown, and stuff like that. But I did hear that there may, like, the matches that may happen is that the SmackDown champion would go against the NXT women's champion, and the Raw champion would go against the WWE UK champion.
All right, hold on. Do you really want to see Carmella wrestle? Actually, now I want Carmella to keep the title so that she can get destroyed by Shayna Baszler.
Oh, Jesus.
So Shayna Baszler destroy her in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. What else? At a recent taping in NXT, a wrestler by the name of Amber Nova made an appearance, apparently. And that caused a little bit of a stir for the fact that I believe her boyfriend is Chasen Rance.
Mm.
Yeah, so I guess people didn't like WWE associating with somebody who is associated with a fucking pedophile. Well, registered sex offender, yada yada yada. So, yeah. So, I guess that's always going to be a stain on her. I heard that Chasen Rance actually dated Santana Garrett at some point though too. Yeah. So I don't know how he's able to mess with these adult women after he's messing with teenage girls. But I guess it's him. Like, actually, no, that's believable. R. Kelly is a thing.
R. Kelly. I just want to say I actually saw a nice heartwarming story right now where some cops got called on some kid for having like his own little like hot dog or whatever thing outside his house, and the cops were like, "Fuck this!" And then the city just gave the kid a permit to continue doing what he was doing.
Yeah, it was. I think it was in Minnesota.
Yeah. Fuck these people calling the cops on some bullshit. Yeah,
people was calling cops for dumb shit.
Yeah, like they ain't calling the cops on no fucking Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. It's always some other kid.
Yeah.
Or on some stupid shit. You see that one about the woman who got called on because the guy thought she was using too many coupons?
Yes. That's what I was going to bring up, because I was like, they literally have a show that white people came up with called extreme couponing, where they use as many coupons as they can, and you think that isn't viable. People haven't like read that they could use as many coupons, you know, like they literally have like the writing or whatever on a lot of these coupons that says that like limited one per customer, or like, say if it's limited one per customer, it doesn't specifically say that you can't use a different type of coupon as well, right? But, yeah. Like, you'd have to, like, have coupons that specifically say you cannot use this in combination with so-and-so and so, which a good amount of coupons actually don't have. So, she was completely justified in using her shit.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is this. Well, this is easy to tie back to wrestling, because coupons are for, you know, items that are advertised, and wrestlers do advertisement sometimes. Bam. Yeah. Alright.
Yeah, they also have those deals in WWE shop all the time too, so.
Yeah.
I take it, like I think I've only taken advantage of those deals like twice. Because like sometimes they got to buy one. Sometimes they have the extreme discounts, or they got to buy one get one for $1, or buy one get one free, and all this shit like that. Sometimes I miss them and I forget, but I think I do need to update my shirt stuff. The only problem is that I always hate how shirts are so expensive.
Yeah, I spend a lot of money, too much money on the Naito shirt I got. I haven't worn it yet because, you know, I don't want shit for wearing a shirt that says cabron, which can mean multiple different fucking things in Spanish.
Yeah, I was so upset that when I went to Hot Topic at one time, there was nothing that I wanted that was in my size. Yeah, I definitely wanted that Los Ingobernables de Japón shirt, but I think the highest size was like XL or some shit like that. And I'm 2X.
Yeah, you gotta go to their website to get that double XL and shit.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I don't want to pay fucking shipping.
That is true.
Yeah. Shipping is the fucking devil.
Hot Topic should just get their shit shipped through Amazon. That way you don't have to pay shit for it once you get that Amazon Prime on it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, shit, I do have Amazon Prime. This, like, I'm milking Amazon Prime as long as I can, like,
actually have disposable income. Yeah. But then after that, I'm going to cancel that bitch.
Oh, not going to watch Tick Season 2?
Oh, shit, when is that coming out?
I don't know. I just finally watched Season 1, so...
Me too. I just finished watching that bitch, like what, 2-3 days ago?
Yeah, at the end of my vacation, because my uncle showed me Season 1 when we were in Colorado, so... At the end of last week, I just said that I watched all the episodes finally.
Yo, that shit was like, you know what? Dope.
I was surprised because I was worried about it.
I want them in season two to introduce more superheroes though.
Yeah, you know? I would like for them to do Batmanuel again.
Yes, yo, Batmanuel from like the first live action show. I loved it. Like I loved all the superheroes on the original show, that really short lived one. The cartoon show, like I liked it, but for some reason I don't look at it as fondly as the live action original live
See,
action
I
one.
I didn't watch the first live action show too much because I wasn't really watching primetime television at the time, but I watched a lot of the cartoon stuff. And I would like to see some of those villains back. I like Chairhead Chippendale just because he looked weird and I loved his name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to put the his name on the fucking moon. That's like a baller villain. That's like if a rapper was a villain. Yeah. My next crime, I'm going to put my name on the moon. Like, what? What's that fucking meme the rapper meme where the rapper looks like he's a super villain and there's the other rapper looking at the computer?
I don't know.
You know the meme, right?
No.
Fuck, I don't know who that rapper is. Yeah. But every time I saw a picture, someone was like, and now I'm holding the city hostage for $1
billion. Oh, shit. That was, okay, that was 21 Savage was the villain, and then the ones looking at the computer was Lil Durk and a Young Thug.
And then there was the one where they added a picture of Jay-Z on a fucking scooter. Like, yes. I'm on my way.
No, it wasn't a scooter. It was a jet ski.
Oh, all right. This shit was funny.
It was because you would think it was a scooter because he looked like he was fully dressed. But he wasn't. Like, it was like he was on a fucking jet ski with, like, a good amount of clothes on, like a vest, a helmet, everything. It was just goofy as shit.
Yeah, that's a great meme. I approve of that one.
Oh, man. But the opposite of them doing that moon stuff is also that Hancock movie. Remember when Hancock put the heart on the moon for Jason Bateman's character?
That's true, man. I need to read the original screenplay, because apparently the original screenplay for that is so dark and
different. Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
And I love the title, He Comes at Night. That shit is double entendre right there.
Double entendre. Yeah, that's right.
To tie this to wrestling, black folks like wrestling. Boom.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking of black folks, one black person has been added to the Mae Young Classic in Lacey Lane, who just got signed about a week ago.
Congrats to her. Hopefully this whole women's evolution pay-per-view leads to what I've been talking about, just giving me a women's wrestling show.
Yeah.
Probably booked other than half their bullshit.
Other people who ended up getting included in the Mae Young Classic, WWE UK's Isla Dawn.
I've heard of her.
Zeuxis? I don't know how to pronounce
it. Zoe.
But she's a luchadora?
I don't know. I think last year was Princess Sunite, Zeuxis. I think she's freelance right now. She left, what's it called? But, yeah.
Yeah, Zeuxis. And then the last one is Karen Q, who competed a lot for Women of Honor. So I don't know if she's going to still be doing the Women of Honor stuff. So the Women of Honor must not be signed.
Most of them, I don't think, are.
Yeah, because, like...
I mean, half the roster now is whoever's visiting from Stardom.
Yeah, because I could have sworn she was just, announced for a show, like, for Women of Honor, like, last week. So, like, I'm guessing that all of those women aren't signed.
Well, because also, I mean, they've had, like, Jessica Havoc, they've had Solo Darling, they've had a lot of women work, but none of them are working those shows consistently.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, you would think, like, they could put Brandi Rhodes on there consistently, but they don't.
They don't, yeah. They, well, she's injured right now, so that makes sense that she's not around.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's basically like they sort of outsource their division to fucking Stardom with a couple extra local women.
Yeah.
Which I guess is fine, you know.
Because, like, the mainstays that weren't, like, Japanese were Deonna Purrazzo, Karen Q, Kelly Klein.
Isn't Kelly Klein gone, too?
Is she gone now? Shit.
I don't...
Damn. Isn't she married to, what's his name?
BJ Whitmer?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think she's married to him.
Because, like, you think that, like, I don't know, Mandy Leon's still there, but we know Taylor Hendricks is gone.
Oh, yeah. The sounds of it. Yeah, she's never coming back.
Yeah, it's sort of like they had at least, like, four or five women, and they built around it, and now it doesn't even feel like that.
Yeah.
Kelly Clark.
And then Sumis. Nope, oh, yeah, I forgot Sumis Sakai is still around, too. Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. Who else? And then Chelsea Green was recently pulled from an indie event, which speculated that she may be part of the Mae Young Classic, but we'll see if that is ever announced. I don't know. Because I don't think she's under contract with anybody right now. Because I don't think she... I think her contract ran out with Impact a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, Impact's trying to rebuild their knockout division, so...
Yeah, I think they're going to have, like, Scarlett Bordeaux debut for it, too. And that's another thing that's supposed to happen, I guess.
Yeah, it's still weird that Jessica Havoc isn't there, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, my main problem with WWE signing everybody is that they don't have enough TV, and at this point, you don't want them to have that much more TV because they have too much fucking TV.
Yeah, man. Like, I think people, like, appreciate NXT for putting quality in a small time, in, like, an hour. They don't want to see it expand to 2 hours, but yeah. You never know, that may end up happening.
They might have to with how big their fuck.
Yeah. Either that or they make another show.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if WWE has a show on every day starting, next year. But it is a bit much.
You know what would be interesting? WWE putting out like a Dojo Wars type show. Just have a whole bunch of like the NXT signed people just like fight each other and like the main audience is just other developmental people in the audience. Shit, saves them a considerable amount of money on shit because they'll be shooting in their center or whatever. And
the performance center, yeah, that could work for them. But WWE
pre-tape stuff, yeah. Don't have to go anywhere. Yeah, so... I don't know, that's just a thought. Besides that, speaking of Performance Center, Cain Velasquez actually showed up and did some drills and stuff at the Performance Center last week. If you're not familiar with Cain Velasquez, he is a former UFC heavyweight champion. I believe he beat Brock Lesnar once. I think it was Brock Lesnar and Alistair Overeem that beat Brock Lesnar. I believe so. Yeah, those are definitely the two ones I remember. But yeah, so people have criticized him a little bit because like Cain Velasquez has had significant back and neck problems and shit, and like, do you really think that WWE is the way to go for any of that? But hey, this could end up turning into nothing anyway, so it's whatever. People pop up in the Performance Center and do shit like once and you don't hear about it anymore, so it's whatever.
What other news? Shit. I forgot. The other Mae Young Classic competitors that got added before the people I just mentioned were Mercedes Martinez, Mia Yim, Kavita Devi, who else? Killer Kelly from the WWE UK. I believe she's from the, like, she's based in the UK, but I think she's South American originally, or something like that. I forgot what. And a newcomer from the Philippines named Crystal. So
okay,
definitely got the international flavor going. So.
Well, they have to do the international flavor since they fucked up trying to do the Asian tournament and the Latino American, Latin American tournament too.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder when they decided that wouldn't be a good idea. Probably when they figured out they don't know how to book lucha or pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Then what else? And then we talked about Latin American. Folks, there was one match. Where was it? I believe it was in Matamoros, Mexico, where a wrestler by the name of Angel Azul, he hit what he calls the Guillotine of Fire during a cage match on Sunday against a female wrestler by the name of Heroina. So, what he did was get on the top rope, have the referee, pour lighter fluid on his tights, on his leg, on one of his pant leg tights or whatever, and have the referee light it for him, and his leg was on fire. He hit a leg drop, actually missed it, and then tried to put it out, but it just got bigger. Because, of course, tights are fucking flammable as shit, and he just put lighter fluid in it, bitch. So, he was just scorched in fucking fire.
So, his name was Angel Azula?
Angel Azul.
Alright. I'm trying to look that up on Twitter. Yeah, maybe I missed it.
Yeah.
Why do you... I don't understand lighting yourself on fire for wrestling.
Yeah, so
it's one thing to go through a flaming table, but for God's sakes,
yeah,
what the hell.
This is the second time somebody from south of the border lit themselves on fire doing some dumb shit for a wrestling match. Because there was another guy, I think, that was in South America somewhere that lit his whole torso up and did an outside dive, which his opponent said "fuck it" and just moved out of the way.
I don't blame that dude. I catch your fiery ass.
He said, "Fuck all that, dude."
He's like, "You need to talk about this shit before the match started."
Oh shit! Yeah, it's fucking terrible, man. Oh man. But in other news, Dylan Miley, aka Lars Sullivan, actually wrote to the WWE magazine almost a decade ago. And it was and his story is really funny. They pulled it up, and here's what it said. I was a high school football jock, and she was the very sexy 5'4", 120-pound cheerleader. We were together for 2 years and matched up perfectly. We both liked sports. I attempted to get her into WWE by bringing her to live events. She didn't like them, but they were my treat, so she came anyway. I would go to her high school volleyball games. That was our compromise. The only thing that tore us apart was my obsession with wrestling and her dislike of big, oily men smashing each other with steel chairs. Things finally came to a head. Oh, when I traveled to New York City for an ECW one night stand in 2005, her birthday fell on the day of the trip. Of course, she took it as an insult. She said, "If you go, then it's over." Honestly, I didn't care because I was never going to miss one night stand.
after I returned home, I tried to smooth things over, even gave her a present for her birthday. It was an ECW shirt.
Wow.
We haven't spoken since. Oh, man. Somebody made a joke saying that, like, it was accompanied by a picture of him, right? And the picture of him, he looked like a young version of, like, Kevin Owens crossed with Sami Zayn. That's how he looked when he was...
Are we talking about Lars Sullivan?
What?
We're talking about Lars Sullivan, right?
Yeah, Lars Sullivan, yeah.
I can't see that. I'm sorry.
Because he actually had hair on his head back then. Huh. He looked young and actually not like a fucking ogre back then.
Exactly.
He didn't look like a fucking ogre back then. So makes sense.
Apparently, I missed a big show. Not that big a show, but there is another show this week I want to mention.
Yeah. What is it?
Do you want me to wait till you're... All right, Chikara has a big show, kind of a big show, Egg Monsters from Mars this Saturday. And the reason I want to mention this is because of the main event match, but also it's, there's an 8-man tag match that has Kikitaro, Los Ice Creams, and Princess Kimberly taking on Cajun Crawdad, Hermit Crab, and two members of the new Team Fist, I believe, Tony Deppen and Huckabee, I forget his name.
Travis Huckabee?
Apparently Team Fist is back.
Team Fist is back. Yes.
With Icarus, obviously.
That was actually my favorite team in Chikara. They were some dickheads.
Yeah, yeah. And Tony Deppen seems like a perfect fit for dickhead Team Fist.
Yeah.
We got Blanche Babbage versus The Whisper, Razorhawk versus Icarus, Thomas Leary, Lucas Calhoun, and the BMD versus the Proteus Will. Beast Warriors, which is Oleg and the Boar Moldova teaming up with Crumbles and Defarge versus the Legion of Rot, Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, and the Closers, who are the tag champions. But here are the two matches mainly that I want to mention. Mr. Touchdown takes on a debut in David Starr.
Huh.
And in the main event, Solo Darling cashes in her 3 points to challenge Juan Francisco de Coronado for the Chikara Grand Championship. And there's actually a pretty good Chikara promo video for Solo Darling on her thing. It's called Pain into Armor. It's a pretty good video if you're interested. And I've only been watching Chikara a little bit, but Solo Darling, what I've seen of her, you know, emotion-wise, she's been a very emotive wrestler. Very can draw you in with what she's kind of going through. So a pretty good challenge, and I think this is probably I think this would be a pretty good time to take the title off JFDC, but who knows, right?
Yeah.
But I figured with those last two matches, I probably should have mentioned that show. I didn't realize it was this weekend. All right. And, of course, it's from the Wrestle Factory.
Of course.
There you go.
Of course. Okay, what other news? I got you ever heard of Dojo Pro?
I think I've heard of it. I don't know much about it.
Yeah, Dojo Pro looks like it's like some type of like I don't know. It's weird. I think this is supposed to be some type of like TV thing. Okay, I think here's the synopsis or whatever. Dojo Pro presents the ultimate professional wrestling opportunity, but with a twist, a gauntlet competition in which 13 independent wrestlers fight their way up the ladder. The winner of each match receives the Dojo Pro white belt and continues on at the top, the Dojo Pro black belt. And I believe it's like a wrestling TV show. I don't know when it's going to start, but already it's not looking too good for it. I don't know. It's some weird shit because, like, now they're saying something along the lines of shit being really problematic. Because apparently the director on the board of the ACLJ The director of the Dojo Pro is a board member of the ACLJ, which supports anti-LGBTQ efforts.
Yeah, I think I have heard of it. It's interesting, though, that this thing is apparently on Prime TV, too.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime, yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of these wrestlers who were going into this were unaware of that. Because I'm looking at some of these guys, and none of these guys really strike me as, you know, anti-LGBT dudes, so...
Yeah. So, for... And then Deadspin was the one who, like, picked up on it at first. David Bixenspan, which I've seen a lot of him talking a whole bunch of shit, saying that early reaction to the series on social media and the Amazon reviews has been largely positive. There's one criticism that keeps coming up, though. The winner of the season not only gets the Dojo Pro black belt, but also a shot at the Ring of Honor Television Championship in the near future. The issue isn't working with ROH, a promotion that director Logan Sekulow clearly admires. They took a risk on their show, and I am beyond appreciative to work with them. And he said, the negatives is that if the show is going to have any kind of external stakes, maybe one of those, a shot at an existing promotion secondary title makes Dojo Pro feel less important and more stunt adjacent than it could. But that's just the one issue that, so there's that issue, and then there's the LGBTQ issue as well. So a lot of foolishness going on. Okay, here's the synopsis of the issues with this ACLJ thing. It's called the American Center of Law and Justice, right? So he's basically the son of Jay Sekulow, who's part of the ACLJ, and a member of Donald Trump's legal team. So they literally have Trump's ties to Trump. So the Human Rights Campaign detailed some troubling things about the ACLJ in an article titled 10 Things You Should Know About the American Center of Law and Justice. A few points from that list include: ACLJ has raised nearly $75 million in the past 5 years to fight for anti-LGBT causes. $75 million. You know how much money that could be spent on actually shit that matters?
Yeah. See, the thing that gets me about people who hate things is they're willing to waste money.
They're willing to waste money, destroy themselves money in order to do shit. That's what I hate about people who feel so strongly about dumb shit. So dumb. And then they also suggest the sin of homosexuality might be the blame for the death of Tyler Clementi and the rash of teen suicides connected to anti-LGBT bullying. So they're not blaming bullying, but blaming the fact that they're homosexual for them committing suicide.
Well, if they weren't gay, they wouldn't have killed themselves, so we need to stop being gay. Like, what?
These people are fucking crazy. Another bullet point:
need to spend that money on something important. Like, give it to me, so I can just, you know, do me. Fuck your causes.
Yeah. Another bullet point: the ACLJ goes after cities and municipalities simply for protecting employees against anti-LGBT discrimination. They even call workplace diversity training offensive. So it's not even just like homosexuality, it's like diversity in general that they think is bullshit. And then the ACLJ defends criminal punishments for consensual human same-sex behavior, saying homosexuality is destructive to society. Yes, that is what they believe in. Okay, and then it also states that these and other points listed in the article are disgusting. Feelings on Trump connections aside, an aggressive agenda of fighting against the basic rights of LGBTQ individuals is unforgivable and disgusting. Logan put out a statement on the changes he directed the organization to take, including the end of their anti-LGBTQ activities, not surprisingly, right around the time the right realized the issue was a disaster. So when they realized that, yeah, they're not going to go anywhere with the anti-shit, that's when they started trying to shut shit down. Fucking dickheads. Anyway, and it certainly doesn't cover for things to happen, nor for the other issues like an anti-women's rights agenda and Islamophobia. So, no, so that's also part of it. Okay, and here's Logan.
Too much time to be hateful assholes.
Yeah, here's Logan Sekulow's, like, full statement, apparently. In Dojo Pro, we celebrate the diversity of pro wrestling from all aspects of life. We have no mention or care of anyone's personal political views. It is simply clean family fun. Right. I've never made a statement regarding any negative attention I've received. However, I think it is important to address these disturbing and inaccurate comments. I've been called the worst names given to those that murdered thousands of my direct family members in the Holocaust. That is why my last name is so rare now. Being half Jewish and even having a wrestling-themed bar mitzvah, I take those words very seriously. I personally and professionally support the LGBTQ community. This is reflected in my work and personal projects and influence in the ACLJ years ago at my direction, and with full support of the team, the organization halted all work that could even be misrepresented as anti-LGBTQ. One of my roles has been to move the organization towards issues that are relevant and pressing today. You now see ACLJ actively working on freedom for the persecuted, freedom of those in prison due to their faith, and have been a leader in the fight against genocide worldwide. Dojo Pro is a fun project that fulfills a lifelong dream. I look forward to the future. Right. Yeah. And then David Bixenspan, the journalist who talked about it earlier, said, for what it's worth, he tweeted this, yada, yada, yada. I've reached out for clarification, as for supporting documentation. If anyone has anything that backs or directly contradicts his statement, send it my way. And then, of course, somebody replied mentioning their Islamophobia. So his statement is pretty moot at that point, where they're still discriminating against people. What other? Anything that's saying, but work towards making possible death. It was very much the most. Yeah, just a whole bunch of shit. A lot of crazy shit. Yeah, I think they scrubbed. And basically, some people had commented that it looked like they had scrubbed a lot of their website after some of the backlash to try to save face. Yeah, and then one, and of course, people bring up Ring of Honor and their
dealings with Sinclair Broadcasting, of course, as their parent company. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah, Sinclair is evil.
Yeah, it's evil as fuck.
All
right. And then people, of course, brought up Game Changer Wrestling's refusal to distance themselves from Schlack and his Nazi affiliation. They bring up New Japan's exclusion of women, which I think is bullshit. But they also bring up
these people don't fucking watch Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, that's fucking dumb. There's no point in mentioning that. But it was interesting that they did mention Elgin, but they forgot to mention what's his name, Tomoaki Honma. And his domestic violence issues, which goes to show that they really don't follow New Japan, because like that was a big thing when that happened.
Yeah, and the thing about Elgin as a shitty person, that incident was a lot like a lot of people online. He didn't believe it, and he talked trash about a woman. He didn't attack her, We could say he's a shitty person. He didn't attack her. The worst part is him fighting her over, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah, name and...
Because he's having issues getting booked in the States because...
Right, right.
I mean, it's shitty that he's suing her, but if this is a guy who is losing money because he's no longer getting booked, I see where the lawsuit comes from. I still think suing a rape victim is fucking idiotic bullshit. So yeah, he's a shitty person. But let's be honest, he didn't attack. Now, if this was New Japan hiring that dude, Sean Orleans, yeah, okay. But you could skip Elgin matches.
yeah.
As far as shitty things go, yeah, Elgin's shitty. But if Schlack is a fucking Nazi, they're not comparison. Elgin isn't putting money against LGBTQA people. I'm not saying this to defend Elgin. I'm just saying let's think of things in context for a minute. There are a lot of shitty people in wrestling.
Yeah, which I was going to bring up because, of course, they mentioned the laundry list of issues with the WWE. Which, basically, when it comes to wrestling, a lot of us have to actually kind of, like, take a lot of that stuff and put it in the back of our minds, because a lot of the stuff that we've, a lot of the stuff that we consume have problematic ties all the time. Like, you can go to, like, every popular promotion and find either something or someone problematic in it.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to bring up Elgin, okay. Why don't you bring up fucking Will Ospreay, too, because of the way he reacted to the story of, what's her name? Fuck. The UK girl who got pretty much blacklisted for her allegations.
Oh, yeah.
The Gothic Lolita girl. I can't remember what she was wrestling. It was like Apollonia. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's been trying to save face ever since then, too.
Yeah. I mean, he said shitty stuff. Let's be honest. Tama Tonga just said shitty stuff the other day, but a lot of us are laughing at it. I mean, it's not as bad as Elgin. I know there's different contexts. But the Ospreay thing is almost as bad as Elgin, but we're not bringing him up nearly as much.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that, but, you know. There is a certain amount of context. And like you said, a lot of these wrestling companies, I mean, it's kind of hard to think of WWE and even like the horrendous fuck. This is a company that made money off of xenophobia, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest here. As wrestling fans, we have to deal with a lot of fucking bullshit.
Yep.
And it hurts as a wrestling fan, but we continue through because sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes that product is really fucking good. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not a fan of Elgin anymore, but I'm not going to lie and tell you that he's having shitty matches. He's had the best A-block matches consistently in the G1 Climax. It hurts me to say this, but objectively, it's true.
Yeah.
And as much as I fucking hate a lot of shit I see in WWE or the xenophobia, I was cheering that shit on as a kid, and I'm not going to lie about that.
Yeah.
That said, once again, they did Booker T fucking wrong.
Yeah, they did. Oh, man. And then, to bring up some more problematic shit, I think Ryan Satin had brought up how there is a wrestler, I think it came to his attention that there's a wrestler in Pennsylvania by the name of Blitzkrieg the Gen Juggernaut. And, of course, he uses a fucking Nazi gimmick at local shows. And he's been betraying that character for some time now. It's just now that he's actually gotten any attention for it. And a lot of people have been, like, questioning the character, especially for the fact that you've got him, like, having this Nazi imagery, Iron Cross flag, and then you got not only that, like, he's a character that's inherently bad, but you have people in the crowd with signs cheering him on. Not just adults, fucking kids. And eventually, it turns out that some of the kids are his students, and he's a fucking teacher.
Yeah, his ass needs to be fired.
Yes.
I mean, I understand it's his second job, but there's a certain thing if, I mean, especially the school, if you're, you know, you're bringing a Nazi character and you might be affecting the way your kids, you know, the kids are thinking of that, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good at all. Like, kids are impressionable. It's fucked up, man. It's really fucked up. Like, I saw this one, I think, Vice, there's this, like, one, like, Vice show where, I think it's called Hate Thy Neighbor, where this, like, British black guy goes to, like, different places that, of hate, or whatever, and then he, like, he stays with this family of Nazis, like, legit Nazis and shit like that, and, like, you have the parents fucking raising their kids as Nazis, and then, like, if you just look at the way they're just acting and shit like that, you'd feel like it's normal. That's the biggest problem with a lot of this stuff, is the normalization of all of it, you know? That shouldn't be fucking normal for you to be cheering on a fucking Nazi character. It shouldn't at all. Period. I don't know, it's fucking gross, man. Like, last thing I heard, he was under investigation, but I don't know if he's gonna get fired or not. I haven't read up on that. Have you gotten any updates on that yet?
I haven't. I mean, it could be one of those things where the school is trying not to draw any attention to him.
Yeah.
So they're keeping quiet, yeah. And maybe they'll quietly remove him without saying anything, because that is a bad look on them too, but I don't know. That was fucking, it's fucking stupid, and these fucking people defending him. I actually think Jordan, one of the women wrestlers, mentioned they worked for that company, and that the guy who runs it didn't even think women could wrestle that well, because he said to her that, I guess, I forget who it was, but she said she was wrestling Jordan Grace. I said, I didn't know women can have a good match.
Jesus Christ.
So that guy was a fucking, the guy booking is a fucking dickhead.
Wow. Yeah, it's probably one of those, like, backwoods places in Pennsylvania. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'm looking up, trying to find out any, new information, for it, but, damn it. Montco, I don't know if Montco is the name of the city, but they call him a Montco teacher, so that was probably the name of the school.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Sun's reported on it. They're gonna have to fire him if it's because the news has reached out, past just the wrestling, the new wrestling newsletters.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. But in other news, speaking of bullshit, Brian Christopher Lawler. Guess what happened to him?
I think I heard he got arrested.
Yeah, he got arrested again. Like, he literally just got arrested, like, a month ago. It was a month ago. Like, I believe it was the story of, I think it was him and one of his co-workers or whatever paid for a hotel room, and I guess they didn't pay fully or whatever, because I think there wasn't enough money in the company card or some shit. Next thing you know, the cops are called on him and he gets locked up. But this time around, he was arrested earlier for DUI and evading cops in Tennessee. Yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah, he's a fucking dumbass, man. Yo, that whole family's fucked up. Him and Jerry. Fuck Jerry.
The biggest problem I have with the Nazi thing, the way they try to defend it is they keep bringing up movies. You don't go to a fucking movie. If you went to a movie and saw someone do a fucking Nazi salute, you'd beat their ass.
Yeah. The difference between a Nazi in like a movie and a Nazi in wrestling is that you can create a Nazi character as a, like, a live action thing and, like, actually, like, make it something that's quote unquote cool, you know? they don't have this, yeah. like I'm pretty sure that the reason that some of these fans have been cheering him is because they haven't portrayed him as a real piece of shit. They really haven't. Like, they haven't portrayed him as the evil that he is. They've portrayed him as, like, a cool heel. You know, that's the way they portrayed him.
Yeah, what a fucking asshole. Like, fuck all these people.
Like, if you go on TV or movies and shit, a Nazi's a fucking Nazi. No, there's nothing cool about them. And they make a point to point out that this character should not be fucking celebrated, period. But, like, they don't do that in fucking wrestling. Wrestling, like, in different parts of the country is still carny shit. And they're going to do whatever without any type of real repercussions or thought of repercussions of it, you know? Because they're trying to make money and they're trying to be as edgy and dumb as possible, you know?
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Another somber news, though. Alex Shelley has officially retired from wrestling.
I heard about that.
Yeah, he gave us some good memories, man. Motor City Machine Guns, Time Splitters, man. Like he had two memorable tag teams, man. I really enjoyed those tag teams.
He's trying to push for a Motor City Machine Guns versus him. Him and Akanamaro being the tag team champions, he was trying to push for that match to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there could still be a chance that could be, like, a go-away match. But still.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, man. When Motor City was, like, in Impact, like, when it was TNA, man, they were it, man. They were so fucking cool. Like, before you had the Young Bucks, you had the fucking Motor City Machine Guns. Like, they were that young, fast team and shit that everybody fucked with, you know? Damn, I missed that team, man. I know they've done work in recent years with Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor is something I don't really support anymore, so that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Anyway, in my last bit of news, which is a lighter note, I hope WGN America isn't a shitty place to, well, TV channel. But yeah, WGN America is adding a Saturday morning wrestling show of their own, which is called Ringmasters. That will air September 15th. Television tapings will take place August 8th and 9th at Sam's Town Casino in Las Vegas. The shows will feature Austin Aries, Eli Drake, Jeff Cobb, Marty DeMoth, Wes Briscoe, a wrestler by the name of Alex Chamberlain, Chase Stevens, Cassidy Riley, and others. Those shows will include a tournament to crown a Ring Warriors grand champion. Yeah, Ring Warriors. That was the name, not Ringmasters. My fault. But it's really interesting. A lot of the wrestling popping up these days. I think they're really trying to different places are really trying to capitalize on this, like, sort of wrestling boom that we've had. So because, like, we've had
WGN America. Plus there's so much television. They need shows.
Yeah, so they got WGN America's dipped into it. Access TV's dipped into the New Japan stuff. BN Sports USA has MLW. Impact still has their... What channel was Impact on again? Last time I remember it was on Pop.
I
want to
say Anthem? Or is Anthem the people who own them? I don't know what the fuck that is.
I don't know.
I know they are on Twitch. You can watch them on Twitch and they have their own network online thing. But as for what channel aired them, I mean, Pop was airing them for a while.
Yeah.
Let me look that up. Impact Wrestling. Who airs you right now. Where are you? There you go, Wikipedia. Their headquarters are in Canada, which is strange now, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're owned by a company called Anthem Sports, I guess.
Yeah, they Anthem Sports and Entertainment owns 59% of it. And the 5% is owned by Dixie Carter. So she owns a tiny bit of it now. Just a tiny bit.
So a tiny bit to keep making money.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. They are... What channel are they on? Jesus. Can't fucking find the TV station. And Tina announced that... Come on, Wikipedia, you can tell me what channel they are, right? Or maybe they don't even know what channel they are on. No. Impact, I guess I'll just put Impact Wrestling TV station.
It says they're still on Pop.
Okay.
Yeah, it says Impact TV series, it's Pop from 2016 to present. So, yeah, they're still on Pop.
Okay. Alright. Cool. I don't know. I don't know if I have Pop TV, but sure.
I believe I have Pop TV, I believe.
Yeah. And they're doing a 2-hour wrestling program. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Fucking wrestling. Yo. Like, I really need to catch up on this Roman Reigns Tama Tonga shit. Cause I think they've been talking some more shit, but I haven't really gotten to that yet.
I think in a legitimate fight, Tama Tonga would probably beat the shit out of Roman Reigns.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
He is ex-military.
Yeah, I think Tama as the faster guy would probably be able to catch him slipping pretty quickly.
Yeah. Plus, you know he's Haku's son. He can't come back home after losing. Fucking Haku.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose a match when your dad's considered the baddest man to ever be in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just fucking rule.
Yeah. And then an update from Matt Riddle. He's given one quote for his future as a wrestler, and he said, "I think it's my time to make the right decision." So we don't know.
Yeah, he's gonna pick CMLL. Watch him.
I don't know. He says, the one thing he did say is that I'm in a really good position right now. I work with Evolve on a regular basis, and they have a great relationship with WWE. I think he talked about himself being stuck in a spot. So, I don't know. He said, from what I've gathered and what I've heard from everybody is at the point where they all want me. And I think they're all big fans of Matt Riddle. I think it's my time to make the right decision. Do it and let's see what happens. So, yeah. And that was on Xbox podcast, apparently. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll fucking see. Yeah, man. Good times.
So, that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Yeah.
All right, I'm hungry. I need to go get some fucking food. All right. Plugs. I am on the Twitter, Sam Towns, mostly talking shit about Trump and retweeting stuff. On Instagram, westside.goth. And I occasionally update a blog with reviews, like my recent Sorry to Bother You review.
Yep.
When my that blog is mygeekdom.wordpress.com. Yes. It is a much more nihilistic film than you would be expecting, even though I assumed it was going to be kind of nihilistic because it was a satire about class, but it got much darker. That said, the opening, I thought the opening might have been my funniest bit in the film. I love the opening. But yeah, go see Sorry to Bother You. And, that's it for me.
All right. Of course, with this podcast, you can check us out on Rant EM Radio. They also have a Twitter, Rant EM Radio. You can listen to us Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, D Time, whatever. And of course, check out the Rant, Freaks and Geeks, Turnbook Throwback, Shining Wizard Podcast, yada, yada, yada. And listen to archived episodes of the Rant and all that jazz as well. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, doomsday519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday519 on Snapchat. And on that note, hey, smoke weed every day.